Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Welcome to the SEO Queen Tech Show, a podcast to help you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. On Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes, Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. And also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can always go to SEOQueen.com and grab your Reach More Clients Power Conference tickets for 50% off or your free ebook, 101 Ways to Improve Your Marketing and Sales. So with that being said, I am so excited, and I'm trying to breathe here. I'm trying to breathe because this is the interview I have wanted for years. I mean, years. And my next guest needs no introduction, but I'm about to introduce him anyhow. He is the architect of New Jack Swing. He is the genius behind the sound of everyone from Kumo D to Bobby Brown to Janet Jackson to Michael Jackson to, I mean, some of my favorite records. Let's Chill by Guy. Oh my goodness, just the whole Project Dangerous. That whole album was just, that project was amazing. This man is a singer, songwriter, producer, father, entrepreneur, global citizen, and I would consider also a friend, none other than Mr. Teddy Riley. How are you today?
Hey, Sister Z, how are you? I'm doing wonderful. Can't complain.
Awesome. I just have to say thank you so much for coming on to the SEO Queen Tech Show to share your journey. I know a lot of people have asked you over the years, like, what gave you the idea for New Jack Swing? What were you thinking, you know, from the musical standpoint and everything? But I'm curious to know, as a musician, how did you form your approach to the music business? Because it is very unique. Very few people, very few artists, very few producers are known as artists, and very few producers have a very distinctive brand, let alone a branded sound. So what has been, you know, from a business standpoint, your approach to your career?
Well, my approach to my career has always been, I strive for greatness, but I get in where I fit in. I don't overexpose myself, because once you're overexposed, it wears out your welcome. So I like, when I do come out, I like to feel missed more or less than, oh, we done seen him many, many times. So it's always welcoming, you know, and then staying humble. You know, I've been this way all my life, and it really helped me get to the top where I'm at today, and just navigating myself through all of the, transitions that's going on in the world. So if you know how to navigate, you know, yourself through this transitional world and staying up with technology, because that's the key. You got to stay on top of your technology in order to be, you know, with the world today and tomorrow, as long as you're keeping up with it and you're following it. So that's been really my secret, you know, other than just doing music. You got to know about the transition, and you got to adapt to transition. You know, I read this book called Who Moved My Cheese.
Oh my goodness. I read that book too. I know.
So you understand transition.
Right.
It's small read. you know, but you will get it and you will understand change every time there's time to change. So that's really been my secret, you know, reading other books, but this here was the book that showed me how to navigate, you know, whatever I do.
Wow. You know, I got handed Who Moved My Cheese. That was one of the books that they handed me, a stack of books, when I worked in my first job at Raytheon as a web applications developer. That was one of the books they handed me to read, and I read it cover to cover. And so my question to you is, how have you stayed on top of the trends? Like, how did you do your research to know what's coming next?
Well, I thank the Most High for the internet, and at the same time, the resources that I have around the world. In Dubai, Australia, I have friends all over. And most of my friends are realists. They know what's going on. And, you know, just like what's going on with this, with the pandemic and, you know, the COVID and things of that sort, you know, and things to stay away from, you know, while this is going on, because this is, like I said, it's been really mind-boggling. There's been so much going on, and you got to learn how to navigate this, or you'll be caught up in the the agenda, you know what I'm saying? And most people know now what the agenda is, but we're, you know, a lot of us are still going with it, you know, but the true people and the smart people who are navigating knows what's going on and knowing how to, you know, get through life, because this is a crazy world right now. And it's, you know, nothing, it's not a lot that we as the people can do about it, but I feel like it's more of the creative people and the people who knows about technology. They know the direction and know what to do.
So I want to go back to, you know, your first producer setup. And I want to know, you know, when you talk about, you know, music production, the technology that you've used, how has it evolved over time for you?
Well, we start from the beginning. I was very creative with everything. I used to be this kid that was intrigued with, you could call it technology back then in the 80s, early 80s. But I was this little kid that wanted to know, how is it being made? You know, how does it go to phono and 45s and 33s and 78s? And how does tape play? 8-track tape to cassette tape to reel to reel. See, I go back all the way to where we had all of those things. I was at the tail end of 78, which is 78 speed records, wax. But I was there with the 33 and 45s, and also with the cassette decks and 8-track tape. So knowing all of those things, and I wanted to know how does it tick, whether it was going to be around, you know, because things were changing. When we went from cassette, we went into, you know, CDs and DVDs. But we also had VHS. We also had a high-definition tape. So when I was working in the studio back then, you know, we didn't have computers. So I come from that. And just knowing, like I said, transition. When I started, I didn't have a drum machine. I made beats with my mouth and roll of toilet tissue with the microphone, which is a 57 going into the mic, the whole of the toilet tissue. And I would beatbox in that and actually hit the outside because it was so soft, you know, to get that low bass, you know, sound. And not just from my mouth. So until I got a drum machine, I was making most of my beats like that and banging on tables. And I would record it with my little microphone. For a keyboard, I got my first keyboard, but I used to have a Curacell beatbox keyboard. So it played the beats, but also if you play the chords would ride with the beat. So it's like, so it's almost like the rhythm would be. So the chords would play. All you have to do is hit one key and it would play major chords or minor chords. It didn't have like all of the crazy chords, but it was one of those things that I took to the park and I would rock the park with the Curacell beatbox. And I used to always think I was going to get robbed with this doggone Curacell because no one had it. And my father had bought it and I used it, you know, and
who manufactured the Curacao?
I think it was Telstar. Telstar. It's an old company because I had a Telstar keyboard as well. And I think it's either made by Telstar or Curacao.
Oh, wow. I never even heard of that company.
I know.
But in the year, I think I was, I don't even want to say how old I was when you were probably in the park, rocking the park.
Oh, rocking the park. That's, I had my Curacao rocking in the park.
Wow. So from there, you eventually start playing around Harlem in different clubs and stuff. And
well, no, from there, I started playing in church. So okay. Every Sunday, I'll wake up and sell Sunday news, you know, not sell, but deliver Sunday news, and we would get paid for it. We would deliver it through my projects because most of the elders and the parents, you know, they always wanted their Sunday news. Because in the Sunday news, you don't just get the news, you get coupons and, you know, things that's on sale. You get those coupons and you're saving money every week on buying food and buying things. So I used to sell papers. Then from selling papers, I would go to church. And my mom made me play piano in church. And then from there, you know, I just started playing and trying to join bands as I was still, you know, bringing my Curacao and, you know, beatbox out, you know, to rock in the crowd and, you know, kind of sort of what all of the people from the projects or the hood would do to get their music or their craft out there. You know, I did also do the street thing, you know, hustling. But I got pretty much my inspiration and aspiration for the music through church and through playing in the park. That's how I kind of grew up in the music industry until, you know, I was always, I went to the Apollo because I lived right around the corner from the Apollo. And at 5, I got picked up on stage by Gladys Knight singing Neither One of Us. And it was the thing that pushed me into wanting to do music and know about doing music.
At 5 years old, you had that amazing experience and you knew what you wanted to do. So my next question to you is, how did you recognize legit opportunities when they came your way? Because I mean, I just, you know, I've read about how you were pulled into Michael Jackson's Dangerous album. I believe they recorded like 60, 70 songs.
Mm-hmm.
By the time that whole process, you know, played out, and they had a couple of albums before you got involved, but you know, Michael wasn't happy. How were you prepared to seize these incredible opportunities and also, you know, deal with the pressure of, you know, this being a big deal and wanting to do a good job? And I mean, can you kind of take us into that space a little bit?
Wait, say it again. I'm sorry.
Can you take us into the space? Like, how did you perform at a high level when the stakes are high?
Well, I started out performing in the band, and I was in many bands. That's the reason why, as a producer, I've been with many groups. And it's not because of, it didn't work. It was basically because I was so intrigued with music that I wanted to do different music. So I was in a group called Kids at Work. Before Kids at Work, we were called another name. But we used to play the high school circuit and perform in high schools and elementary schools and junior high schools. And when we did that, you know, I was cool with that, but I was like, I want to do something else as well. And I joined a big older band. They were older than me. And that's how I got to know like Timmy Gatlin, who was the original member of Guy, who quit later on. But we were in bands, you know, young bands, and we competed in contests, the Big Apple contest in New York. And it was us as the young band, and then we had the older band that I was with. They competed as well. As the young band, we got disqualified because we were under 18. So I got to join the older band because I had a guardian. But the other competition was like Keith Sweat's band. That's how I got to know Keith Sweat. And the other competition was Johnny Kemp's band and different bands around the whole New York circuit. So how I got into the big, time in the big life of the music industry was people started noticing this little kid who's playing in bands, doing music, and making beats for the different rappers back in the day when I worked with B-Fats and I worked with Rob Bass and I worked with Kumo D, Big Daddy Kane, and a lot of the local rappers of New York that became big rappers, B-Fats, Classical Two, Raps New Generation. And then I developed a rap group, which is Rex in Effect, pushing my brothers to do music instead of doing the street thing. So I got in trouble and I didn't want to see them getting in any trouble. So when I got put on, I pushed them and I put them on. I know I'm skipping, but it's going, it's telling you how I got into the music industry. And then I was noticed, again, I was noticed by Gene Griffin and a guy by the name of Dave Hyatt. And they were two, big time gangsters. And basically I went with Gene Griffin instead of going with Dave Hyatt. But I've known them both since I was 14, 13, 14. I also had a mentor. And that mentor was a gentleman by the name of Royal Bayan. He was the colored cousin. He was the cousin of Kool and the Gang, first cousins. And he took me around to the studios, and that's when I got to meet the great producers like M. Toomey, Patrick Adams, Fred McFarlane, and Alan George, and who else back then? Oh, Kashif. And I just met a lot of producers coming up, and I sat in sessions, with Kool and the Gang. I was in a session when they were doing Ladies Night, and
Wait a second. So when they were recording Ladies Night, you were in the studio?
yeah, I was there in New Jersey,
Wow.
and it was just my mentor. He took me everywhere. Royal Bayan, took me everywhere just to, like, I think he was just showing me this is what it's going to take. If you want to be a producer, you want to be a writer. And he said to me, if I were you, I would do it all. And I did it all.
So that's just, I'm just thinking about just imagining you in these spaces. No wonder you're the best. You was hanging with the best.
Well, it's kind of following what Michael Jackson always say, get with the greats to become greater, get with the best to become the best. So I always wanted to be a superstar and I wanted to be one of the best. I don't never claim the best being the best, but as long as I'm in the number, I'm gonna be all right. And that's what I did. When I got with Michael, he just taught me so much and how to focus on the lifespan and the time span of being around beyond my existence. And that's just been my goal, making marks that will basically take my life beyond my existence when I'm not here. I just want to be known as one of the best in what I do.
Well, I think you definitely have achieved that because I can tell you, I was just at a party this weekend, and what did the DJ play? Another song you produced.
Wow.
It's the soundtrack of our lives. And I just smile inside and I just said, wow, the impact is there. So the pandemic is hopefully on its way out. And musicians, the music industry, entertainment industry, Hollywood, everything has been dealing with challenges. With my business has been always online. So this has been just another day. But for artists who thrive on in-person live performances, And the entertainment industry is, you know, whether you're shooting movies, music videos, different things, like what do you see in the future of the entertainment industry, and how do you see the entertainment industry evolving now as we're moving into this social distance era?
Well, I can only say that they don't intend on it being the same. It's not going to be the same. As how you say, manually, it will not be the same because they're trying to bring in the future. They're moving really fast with technology and moving really fast with how life is going to go. And it's beyond us. It's not fair to us. The dictators and how you say, people who transition the world before we're ready. You know what I'm saying? And it's been going on for so long, which is why I find myself wanting to be, back in the motherland. And the reason why, because if I'm going to go into the future of life, I want to be able to have or build an ecosystem that will sustain my life, my existence, and others as well. And I don't think that America is the place where we're going to be able to do that. They created this world for us, taking out a lot of the importance of and essence of our music and changing the subjects and the narratives of our music business, of our entertainment business, and
How do you feel about that? I mean, when you look at Motown and you look at, Papa Was a Rolling Stone, Just My Imagination, Dancing Machine, you have serious topics, but a lot of it lighthearted too. This emphasis on, love and relationship, togetherness. What are your thoughts on where the music industry is going now?
Well, my thoughts is the music industry is still going to be remembered because you can go into the future as much as you can, just like we are in the future now. We're in 2000, we're in the 20s, and I feel like music is still going to be the same. We're just going to go into the future, but just like now, you got rap and it's not going no further. It's like the same things is going on, and they're still talking about the same subjects. And until that changes, it's going to stay the same. But if you listen to the classics, you're still listening to it today because they are what they are, classics. They are how you say, the standard of where music have been and where it's now and where it's going. You cannot take away classics. They will stand the test of time forever. You'll always hear Michael Jackson. You know what I'm saying? You'll always hear the stars that have made their print, but the fly-by-nights will come and go. And technology will still escalate and go as far as, the future, but you still can't take away the music of the past. And that's what these kids, everybody's remaking the music of the past, or they're doing something or taking from something in the past. And of course, the other side don't like that. That's the reason why they've taken R&B away. They've taken disco away. They've taken our titles away. But the name New Jack Swing will always go because it's always new. It's a futuristic name, and
It's a futuristic sound.
yeah, it's a futuristic sound, but it's really a futuristic title and culture.
Right.
No, it's something that people always say or do, but you haven't heard like the word disco since it was out, and it was in the billboards. And so I'm so happy to be the creator of the sound, the culture, along with my other brothers and sisters who, made it possible. Michael Jackson have taken New Jack Swing, to another level. And now it's everybody's, trying to do that music, everybody's, you know, still moving in that vein. So I just, like I said, hope to see the world evolve even more into the future and taking music to the future without it becoming, how you say, artificial.
Yeah, you know, I've been reading about, you know, I don't know if you've heard of the media laboratory at MIT, but they have some projects there where they have algorithms that are composing music. How do you feel about that? How do you feel about, you know, using computer algorithms to write music, compose music? What are your thoughts on that?
That's why I said that's the creative artificial world of creativity. And I don't think that it's going to last long. It's almost like when the auto-tune came in, I'm the first to use the auto-tune. Then comes Rodney. When I used it, I didn't use it like Rodney used it. And then
you talk about Rodney Jerkins.
Rodney Jerkins, yeah. Mm-hmm. One of my discoveries. When he used it, it was amazing. And then it went to another level with a T-Pain.
Right.
It became more artificial.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real
and,
world.
And I just have to say, I don't know if you friends with Drake or not, but I think Drake uses it too much. That's just my opinion.
Well, I think a lot of people have forgotten the root, you know, and when it started, you know, because everybody thinks, you know, that T-Pain have made the auto-tune and he did not create the auto-tune. The auto-tune was probably created before he was born in the music industry. In fact, it was.
So I have a technology question for you. Mm-hmm. What is the difference between auto-tune and the talk box? When you talk about Roger, Zapp and Roger, Computer Love versus, uh-huh, you know, what you've done with your work, what's the difference between the talk box and the auto-tune?
The difference between the talk box and the auto-tune is, let's go from analog, real, to artificial. So the talk box is analog. The talk box is manual. The talk box, you have to do, you know, basically learn how and know how to manipulate the tube more or less than when you do auto-tune. All you got to do is just, you can shout in it. It's going to shout a note. It's going to shout you in key. You can, you know, talk in it. It's going to talk to you. Your talk is going to be in key. Even though we sing in notes, we talk in notes, but this is basically the more artificial. It puts you in key. And that's what the auto-tune is. The auto-tune is the artificial intelligence as opposed to real intelligence. People are using their mind to articulate and transform keys.
Right. Because, you know, when I listen to, you know, Make You Dance or Computer Love or I Want to Be Your Man, you know, from just, you know, a compositional standpoint, from a music technology standpoint, I hear the intention. I hear the effort put into that music to create, you know, yeah, this art. Not so much with auto-tune.
Auto-tune is one going in now that everybody, male, female artists, doesn't matter. You can take a dog and have it bark into an auto-tune, it's going to be in key. Most rappers, they rap with the auto-tune on, so it feels like everybody, they're rapping in scales. As opposed to Jay-Z, he is the scale, you know what I'm saying? He's the analog. Kendrick Lamar is the analog. Now, I don't know if they've used it before, but I can tell you that DMX is the analog. Eminem is the analog, okay? T-Pain is the artificial, and it's no disrespect. Drake is the artificial, no disrespect. They are creative with what they do artificially.
Right.
Future, they all use the artificial intelligence.
Right.
As opposed to us, Roger, myself, Peter Frampton. Who else? It's a few people that use
There's an
Herbie
artist,
Packs.
Mr. Talkbox. He's come out recently. He's collaborated with Mr. Talkbox. I don't know what his real name is, but he did the intro to 24
Right.
Magic
As
with
a
Bruno Mars.
Talkbox, Mr. Talkbox, who's my friend, you know, he's still doing the analog.
Right.
He's still doing the labor. See, one is the labor. You got to work hard to make it sound good. And one is the non-labor. You don't have to work that hard. All you got to
Right.
do is just have, you know, rhyme and pretend you're singing.
So I have a question for you. Why should a musician learn, you know, the major and minor scales, their modes, their triads, the difference between an augmented and suspended chord? Like, why should any professional really understand the foundations and basics or the old school way of doing something? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I feel that they should, because it's the fundamentals of music, the fundamentals on how to stay, it's the fundamentals of staying on top of your craft. See, it's not no work when it comes to, only work that you're doing is your writing when you're utilizing the artificial machines. But with the analog and the real musicians who are playing the chords and who's doing most of the articulations of music, that's the purpose of them knowing it, because a lot of the artificial, and in fact, all the artificial artists have to go to the real musicians to get their music and bring their music across. So they have to know music in order to articulate or direct the artificial.
Right. Because you have to know you have to know the fundamentals in order to communicate effectively.
Exactly. And communicate that to the artificial. I mean, just like we basically program the computers. We program them to basically be aligned with what we want as music makers. We program them to be aligned with what we want and how we want to articulate our creativity and our craft, whether it's art, whether it's video directing, editing, different things like that, whether it's coding. You are coding, you're programming. Isn't that right?
Right. So I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to share your life experience and wisdom. You've dropped a ton of nuggets, a ton. And I, you know, I'm just curious, like, if you could talk to your younger self about this journey, you know, as a Black man in America creating iconic music, what advice would you give your tween self, you know, at 13, 14, what would you tell yourself now?
If I had to talk back to myself,
right,
and myself growing up into this new world.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I would tell myself to know the new world, but stay real. Know the real world, know the world that created the new world. You know that, then you know how to create a new world.
Right.
Your own world. I think that's what I would tell myself, because I'm telling myself that every day. Know the real world in order to know the new world.
Right.
You know, a lot of things change, but it still doesn't change the essence and the origin of it. There's always an origin of something, whether it's right. playing sports. And how they do it yesterday, they still do it today.
Right. There's some things that don't change. There's
exactly.
there's spiritual we'll never, physical laws that don't change no matter what. And
we'll never,
that you can build upon.
That's right. So you can always build upon the origin, but it's going to take the future and technology to, you know, to move it forward. But it's always still going to come from the essence and the origin of analog and what the world was. It's like the same as building buildings. It's never going to change.
Right.
They're just trying to have machines do it, and it's making us lazy. Same thing in music. It's making us lazy with the artificial intelligence. Soon they're trying to...
You said, I agree so much with you. I agree so much with you.
Yeah, it's the truth.
And I get on my son's case about a lot of stuff because I'm not tolerating that laziness because technology, it does.
Yeah.
This country has a history of people being lazy, whether they're using, enslaved labor or technology for shortcuts. And that has to stop.
Well, definitely have to stop. I tell you,
oppression and laziness together is not sustainable.
It isn't at all.
It's not sustainable.
At all. I mean,
and anybody who thinks it is, they're delusional.
Well, it's going on every day. We're depending so much on machines. We're depending on, the government, to change our DNA.
Mm-hmm.
People are so depending on that. When you have control of your DNA, you can change it yourself. You can change the narrative of who you will be, 10, 20 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the way the world trying to be. But try isn't a good word in our vocabulary. We have to be doers. If we don't be doers, we will never make it to the future.
And on that note, I want to say thank you so much. You've been listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show with my guest, the iconic and legendary Teddy Riley, one of my childhood, teenage, adult influences. I mean, I'm grateful. I just cannot say thank you enough for coming on to the show. And I hope people who are listening to this really understood and overstand what you said, because you said a lot, and I thank you for that.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen, with visibility like never before. When traffic's gonna explode, it's time to grow with the SEO queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. Traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Completely redesigned Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever.
Ever.
Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.